Okay, my computer had been having a lot of problems. I mean, I know that happens with a lot of computers.
Yeah.
But it made me think that maybe I had a virus. And I got to a desperate situation. I decided, you know what, the nuclear option's right, and I'm going to reset this thing. So I did that. And I'm, you know, that's in the past, whenever I've done that, everything comes out exactly like it was from the past.
I mean, you rewrite Windows, you erase the drive, and you start over, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, huh. I did it.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, though, when it was done, it said, you know what? We weren't able to erase all of your files.
Oh.
And it was users and programs and Windows. And that concerned me because I've heard somewhere that there are viruses that basically can keep themselves somehow even when you reset your Windows. So,
I wouldn't worry about that, although I've never seen this message. Could you tell me exactly what it said?
Oh, I wish I had a screenshot of it, but it said basically we weren't able to erase all of your old files and folders, and then it gave me a list, and it was like four or five different folders. So you've never seen that before.
Not that error message. It doesn't mean it. You know, it's not common. It just means I've never seen it. So here's the viruses that survive nuclear winter, which, you know, you've nuked the hard drive. The ones we're talking about are really unusual, really uncommon, and mostly designed by governments and nation states to do, you know, really evil stuff. Those are ones that would live on the master boot record, for instance, or and even those would get wiped out by any normal disk format. Or if you really want to get nefarious, they'd store themselves in non-volatile memory on the video card, things like that. They aren't normally in folders that aren't able to be erased by Windows. That's strange. In future, I wouldn't worry about it. What were the folders? Were they folders you recognized?
Well, there was users, program files, program
86. Okay, it did.
Windows.
You know, it did that as a favor to you because it didn't want you to have to reinstall your applications. Didn't want you to have to reinstall your data. It was being cautious. You can erase those if you want to, and the way to do it is when you start the repair process, they give you the option to repartition the drive. If you do that, it'll erase everything.
I see. Okay.
So I think I think it was mostly a convenience for you.
Okay.
They're not warning you, oh, a virus prevented us from doing this. No.
Okay, then I won't worry about that then.
No.
Okay, my second, much quicker question was, you know, if it is reset completely free and everything is good now, I put onto an external hard drive a lot of my older files and folders that I wanted to keep. Is it unsafe for me to take those and put them back onto my computer again?
No. So you mean in terms of viruses?
Yes.
Yeah. So quick primer on how viruses work. Ultimately, a bad guy has to execute a program somehow on your computer. He either tricks you into doing it, and that's the most common way, with an attachment that says, hey, you know, Smithers, this is that Excel file. I need it by tomorrow morning on my desk. And it looks like it's an Excel file. It's attached to the email you opened, and it wasn't. Because when you opened it, you executed a program. The problem is people don't always recognize programs. There's, you know, programs can lurk in a lot of places. They don't lurk in general in data files. So if it really was a .xls or a .doc, you'd be safe. There used to be a way to get a program to run in Excel macros or Word macros, but Microsoft has disabled that now. If you open that file, you've probably seen this. It'll say, hey, there's some software in here that will execute. Make sure it's okay before you do that. Those are macro viruses. They're pretty much gone. The other way a bad guy can get you to do this is a little more tricky, and he can do it with a data file, but only if you have a program that has a big bad bug in it. And I'm talking about in Flash or in your Acrobat PDF reader or even in Windows itself. There was a bug in the Windows that allowed a Windows meta file, which is supposed to be just plain data, to infect your computer because it was plain data. But when read by the buggy program that displayed it, that data would be turned into a malicious application. That's happened too with the Acrobat Reader. That's why we say update, 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 because you want to make sure that when those bugs are discovered, You want to make sure they're fixed immediately before the bad guys get a chance to craft dangerous data programs. As long as you're updating Windows and updating any applications that go on the web, updating everything you can on a regular basis, your data files are safe. They only can be dangerous. A PDF can only be dangerous if it's run by a broken version of Acrobat Reader. So we want to make sure we keep those patched. That's all.
Okay, so automatic updates is probably a good choice then.
Absolutely. It's a must, in my opinion. And by the way, that's true in spades, for instance, when it comes to Adobe products. Flash and Reader are notorious for these kinds of bugs. You don't want to go to a website that starts playing a Flash animation that infects your computer. That would be a bad thing. So we want to make sure that especially programs that are run when you go to the web, run by your browser as plugins, get those fixed, you know, always. And Adobe's moved towards an automated update system as well because of that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Last question.
Yeah.
I've become really paranoid about viruses and malware. And so I use Malwarebytes Pro and Avast. I mean, should I be doing even more to try to protect my computer?
No, the most important thing is the things, not the antiviruses. Those are your kind of second line of defense. But you, so even if you have antivirus software, if you open attachments that contain malicious programs and you don't keep Windows patched, it doesn't matter. You know, that's the most important thing.
I see.
So you're doing the most important thing by updating regularly, by being careful where you get files and who, you know, what files you open. Email attachments, the number one way people get infected these days. So be very suspicious, especially if it comes from someone you know or the IRS or your bank. That's when you should be more suspicious. Nobody opens attachments from some guy named Vladimir Hacker that I never met. Nobody opens those. That's not what worries me. It's when it comes from your bank, or really Vladimir Hacker posing as your bank. That's when you got to worry. So be careful about what you open. And then the AV file is, the problem is an AV file is kind of after the fact protection. It can say, oh, hey, you got a bug. By then you're in deep trouble anyway. Most security experts I know put any virus and programs like Malwarebytes pretty low on the list of must do things. Updating is backup's number one. Updating's number two. Number six, number seven is an antivirus. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, but it's not it's in and of itself not sufficient.
Okay, you got to be alert and aware. Okay.
Alert and aware and cynical and suspicious. And I'm sad to say that because we should all be open children wandering in the wonderful world around us.
But that would be nice.
Wouldn't that be nice someday?
Yeah. Okay, Leo. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Mr. Hacker, hello. I have an email for you from Mr. Hacker. Will you open? No. That's not the one to worry about. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.